الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. The Shaykh said, all praises due to Allah who said in the Quran, وهو القاهر فوق عباده ويرسل عليهم حفظة حتى إذا جاء أحدكم الموت توفته رسلنا وهم لا يفرطون. Praise due to Allah who said in the Quran, and He is the irresistible above His servants. And He sends down angels who write down, you know, keep track of everything that you say or do, all of us. Until death comes upon one of us, then the angels will take the soul away and they do not have any shortcomings. You know, no angel is delayed or he doesn't fulfill the job on time. Everything is done perfectly. Okay, we human beings, you say, I'll see you tomorrow, then you don't see him after a week because of things that, you know, come. See you 1 o'clock, you know, you come 1:30. They say this is Filipino time.
Yeah.
And they also call it Saudi time. And in Lebanon, they call it Lebanon time. That's everywhere in the world, man. Everybody's half an hour late and they call it this is our time. No, this is the world time. Except some countries, they actually do it on time. But who are they? The disbelievers. And the Muslims, Allah musta'an. But inshallah we will be changing soon. طيب. So the job is done on time. When Allah Azza wa Jalla orders the soul to be taken away, the angel of death comes with the assistance, other angels who assist him, not in terms of needing assistance, but to come with him. As soon as he takes the soul away from one of us, then the angels will be having a shroud. Either a nice shroud that smells nice for the good soul, or an evil one that smells bad for the wicked soul. And then there's a long narration about what happens afterwards. The Shaykh said, I praise him, subhanah, glory be to him, and I thank him for his mercy, along with his power, his strength, and his ability to take revenge. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah alone, with no partners, in His sovereignty, and in Him being the one who arranges the affairs. He judges as He wills, and He does what He wants. No one has any say. And I bear witness that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the servant of Allah and His messenger. May Allah send His peace and blessings upon him, his companions, and all those who follow them on the righteous path. The Shaykh said, verily, magnifying Allah, magnifying meaning to give Allah alaykum salam rahmatullah what He deserves. Now we don't mean, you know what magnifying means. To magnify something meaning to make it bigger. Okay? To make the affair bigger. To magnify Allah is to give Allah what He deserves from His greatness. To have greatness in your heart towards Allah. That is what ta'zeem means. In English, magnify, but some people may think of a magnifier. So I don't want you to be thinking of a magnifier. That's not what is intended. That's why I'm trying to be particular with the terminology. So magnifying Allah Azza wa Jal and magnifying His deen, everything that He commanded and everything that He prohibited and every act of worship that He has conveyed or He has revealed to us, even the places which are virtuous, like Mecca and Medina, and you know, al-Bayt al-Maqdis fi al-Masjid al-Aqsa, these places that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given virtue, all are under the sha'ar of Allah. And magnifying the limitations of Allah by not transgressing them is from the most honorable and of acts of worship that are done by the heart. Because you know, the acts of worship are two kinds, right? There's an act of worship that you do outwardly with your body, and there's an act of worship that you do with your heart. So your fear of Allah and your love of Allah and your depending on Allah is all acts of worship of the heart. No one can see you. Someone will look at you, they have no idea what's in your heart. But it's an act of worship in your heart. If you depend on Allah, someone come and tell you, oh blah 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 problems, you're gonna get this, you're gonna get that, because let's say you went and you prayed in jama'ah, and your mudir found out that you prayed in jama'ah, and he's gonna fire you, and the people come and tell you, Allah, you're gonna get this and you're gonna get fired, and they're gonna send you back home, they're gonna give you an exit visa, blah blah blah, and in your heart, you're depending on Allah. You say, okay, thank you very much. You don't worry about it. Because you know what you did was Allah's right. And if you do Allah's right, you're not going to lose. Even if you lose a job, you're not going to lose the whole thing. Allah will give you a better job. Allah will give you something better. If Allah doesn't, for a wisdom, Allah will give you paradise in the hereafter. Either way, you will win. If you put the right of Allah first. So a person depends on Allah in his heart. Another person, you'll get scared. Oh yeah, Allah freaks out, start making calls, and oh, beg the boss, please don't fire me. He doesn't depend on Allah, he depends on the creation of Allah. This is an act of worship of the heart. The way you depend and you rely upon Allah to bring the benefit and protect you from the harm. So, magnifying the limitations of Allah and Allah Azza wa Jalla Himself and the thing that Allah made sanctified is an act of worship of the heart. Actually among the best of acts of worship of the heart. Which it is incumbent upon us to establish it in our lives and to live according to it. And to train the soul to act in this fashion. Specifically in this time, during these days, where it has become very common that the people belittle and degrade the greatness of Allah and the greatness of the teachings of Islam and everything of the sort, where people just freely disobey Allah, you know, with no shame, with no reservation, without even caring. I'm like this, whatever. Yeah, you tell them, but this is haram. Yeah, I know, but you know. What do you mean you know, but you know? No, I don't know. I'm telling you it's haram. That means you must stop. If you truly fear Allah, and if you're truly looking forward to meeting Allah, and if you magnify Allah in your heart, you cannot just have someone tell you this is haram, say, okay, well, yeah, I know, but you know, I'm just going to keep doing it. Right? It's very common nowadays. You advise people, and it comes from this ear, right out of that one. They do not care. In their heart, they do not care. This is a problem. We will see how the Shaykh deals with it. So it's become very common that the people belittle the deen of Allah, make fun of the people who implement the deen of Allah. You know, this is mutawwi', this is whatever. Sometimes it is said a praiseworthy. Sometimes it is said as if they're criticizing you. You're being criticized for having a beard. And they don't know that upon making fun of you having a beard, they are making fun of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Automatically. According to the Quran, you become a kafir upon making fun of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or anything that is part of Islam. So making fun of someone who has a beard can take you outside of Islam. Because the whole thing is about magnifying Allah and His deen. If in your heart you have none of that, rather you're making fun of it, you cannot be a believer. You understand what I'm saying? You cannot truly be a believer. So this is a serious affair. Very common nowadays. Very common. Except those whom Allah has mercy on. The Shaykh said, how is it that Allah is not magnified? When Allah says in the Quran, تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْ The heavens are about to split asunder from the greatness of Allah. The heavens are almost unable to remain intact. Now if you look at the heavens, you don't see any gaps, any cracks. It's one entity. But because of the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal who is above the heavens, we will deal with that in a bit inshaAllah, the heavens are about to split asunder, they are about to explode. But by the will of Allah it remains intact. But this is due to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says in the Quran, Surah Nuh, وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا This is one after he mentioned how what happened between Noah and his people. After he advised them and he gave them da'wah during the night, during the day, in secret, in public. And they just put their fingers in their ears. And they covered themselves with the clothes. They don't want to hear da'wah, man. Don't tell me about Islam. I want to remain a disbeliever. I like the religion I'm upon. Tell him, explain to me the religion that you're upon. He doesn't know. See? You will find this the case. Say, oh, I know, I found Jesus. I know, I have faith. I believe. Okay, explain to me. Convince me. He doesn't know. Quote me a verse. He doesn't know. Make logic out of what you believe. He doesn't know. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost guides me. The Holy Ghost has nothing to do with you. The shaitan is guiding you to Jahannam. everything that's happening in your life. That's just being frank. And I had a conversation, I don't know, I told you this earlier, with a born again Christian who was on one of these, you know, the Holy Ghost is guiding me. I told this man, I was going to quote some verses from the Bible. So I said, before, let me find out whether this person believes in the Bible. I go, sir. I said, do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? He went, you know, that's a good question. I said, what? Did you understand what I said? I asked this person, do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? He had never thought of it in his whole life. This was the first time. He said, you know, that's a good question. And he said, they're thinking about it. I'm like, how could you be a believer when the very essence of your belief system, a book, you haven't really thought whether it is the Word of God or not? And then, you know, the whole time I'm conversating with him, he does not make any sense. He cannot convince me anything. Every time I put him in the corner, he says, well, the Holy Ghost is guiding me. He said, the whole thing, the whole religion is to love God, love the people, and do to people what you like to be done for you. Do to people what you want the people to do for you. I said, let me ask you a question. What if you were gay? If you are gay, what you like to be done to you is a man have a relationship with you. So do you go have a relationship with a man? He said, no, no, no. This is no good. I said, who said it's no good? According to who? Because he was telling me earlier, there's no need for law. No need for legislation, no need for commandments, do good, don't do good. He said, it's common sense. Everybody knows what's good, everybody knows what's evil. You know what's evil. He said, it's evil for a gay man to have a relationship with a gay man. I said, according to a gay person, this is the opposite. The biggest evil in the world is to deprive him of his lover. So then we have to have something from God, which tells us what is good and what is not. Because me and you may differ. What is good to you is bad for me, what is bad for me is good to you. So the idea is, this person who was claiming in front of everybody to be a strong believer in what he's about, he does not know anything. He cannot convince me with anything or anybody else around us. And every time you ask him a question, very basic, he does not have an answer, or he thinks of an answer right then and there. He says, well, according to me, the kingdom of God is in my heart. I'm like, who are you? According to you, and according to my wife's sister, who's also a born-again Christian, she has a whole other belief other than him. And both of them are born again. He is being guided by the Holy Ghost, and she's being guided by the Holy Ghost. So I told him, who is really being guided? I mean, he's guiding her this way, he's guiding you that way. Your belief is other than hers. I've spoken to her, I've spoken to you, you guys don't agree. How are you being guided by the same Holy Ghost, and each one of you is going the opposite direction? Doesn't make any sense. You see what I'm saying? So in reality, yes, about this, bear with me, inshallah. You can complete the paperwork after the khutbah translation. Ahlain, khutbah. Rakum salam. So basically, they do not know what they're doing, and they don't want to hear the da'wah. So Allah says, what is the matter with you? You do not give Allah His due right from being magnified and being given His you know, the greatness. Why don't you do so? The brother said, my Muslim brother, the soul of worship, yani the essence of worship, is really in the fact that you love Allah and you magnify Him and you glorify Him accordingly. This is the essence of your act of worship. It is not just fear. And reaching this level of your heart magnifying Allah due to His greatness, in order for you to reach this point, in order for us to reach this point, there are some steps we must take. It doesn't come, you know, while you're sleeping. You have to do some things, and you have to leave alone some things to reach this point. Excuse me. He gave us advice. He said the first thing that you must do to reach this particular point is to confirm the attributes of Allah as it befits His Majesty. Now this is a whole other discussion that I don't know whether you are familiar with it or not. But basically, we believe in all the names and attributes of Allah without distorting the meaning, without denying the meaning, without saying how, and without resembling Allah to His creation. Four deviations that we Muslims don't have, unlike every other religion on earth which claims to believe in God. The four things that make us different than all the other non-Muslims when it comes to believing Allah is that we believe in whatever Allah described Himself in the Quran with, or what the Prophet Muhammad peace be upon him described Him with in His Sunnah. But we have four reservations. We do not distort the meaning, misinterpret the meaning, say, oh no, no, what is not intended, what is what is intended is that, not that. That's the number one thing we don't do. We don't deny the meaning. Say, no, no, you cannot say that. And we do not say how. How Allah's attributes are, no one knows. Why? Because no one has seen Allah. And there's nothing like Allah. There's nothing like Allah. Because there's nothing like Him. The only way you know how something works is either if you have seen it with your eyes, or someone you trust has seen it and he told you about it. Either you must see it, or someone trustworthy tells you he's seen it, and you take the image or the concept of how from that person. Allah Azza wa Jalla, no one has ever seen Him, and no one has seen anything like Him. So it is impossible for you to know how the attributes of Allah are. I'm going to ask you a question. Does Allah have a hand?
Yes. Yes.
Raise your hand if you are in the affirmative. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Raise your hand. Does Allah have a hand?
Yes.
Ish. Yalla Sadiq. Kullu. Everybody raise your hand, or everybody. Who? This once. Okay, so we have three people who believe Allah has a hand. Only. Ah. One, two, three, four, five, six. Every okay. Who believes? Who doesn't believe that Allah has a hand? Raise your hand. Ah, you're shy, huh? But Allah has a hand. He does, but no one knows what it's like. So the Christian concept of an old man. No shirt, okay, muscular, with long gray hair, and a finger given maybe a soul to Adam, is blasphemy. Is the worst thing you could do, because you have made Allah like a human being, particularly like His creation. You gave Him an image while you have never seen Him. This is the biggest crime, because you're not speaking about anyone, you're speaking about Allah. And you must realize that the one who created all this creation is far beyond your imagination. So Allah described Himself in the Quran as having a hand. Actually, two hands. But what they are like, nothing. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And there is none equal to Him. In another verse Allah says, وَلَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like unto Him. There is nothing like Allah. And I will give you an example which will make you understand. Ya akhi, let's say that they invented a new machine. Not even a machine. They invented a new thing called flea flea flu flu. Bear with me, this is going to be fun. Flea flea flu flu. Now, I come and tell you, hey, have you heard about this flea flea flu flu?
Yes.
No, you can't. I'm the first one with the news. You say, no. What is it like? Okay. So there's nothing like it. It's not a cell phone. It's not a machine. I take back the machine. It's not an animal. It's nothing we've ever seen. Okay. How am I going to explain it or describe it to you? It's impossible. They say, well, it's not an animal, it's not a this, it's not a machine. What will happen? Your mind, I may give you some description. It's big, it's whatever. Your mind will start to develop an image of my speech based on zero foundation. As I'm speaking, each one of us in our brain, he will have a totally different image than the one next to him. I say big, maybe one of you thinks big as the earth. Another one thinks big as a table. Another one big as an elephant. Then an airplane, just because I said the word big. The perception by each one of us will be totally different. just by using the word big. Okay? Why? Because we have absolutely no resemblance to this new flu. It's nothing we've seen before. So you cannot possibly imagine, and even if you were able to create an image, not 100% you're going to be wrong. Yes. When you're done with your image, it's not going to be identical with the flu. You have no idea. But if I told you that there's a new phone, Nokia N97, you say, what's the 97? I know the 95. Say, it's just like it, but the screen is bigger. Okay? It's gray. I start giving you a description. What will happen? In your mind, you will put the Nokia 95 in your brain. Then as I give you the new description of the new Nokia, you will start building on an original image. Why? Because you have something you've seen, something you have known before, so you're able to think of what it may be like. This is what is intended by there's nothing like Allah. There's nothing like Allah. So that there's not, that means that you could have never imagined. You've never seen anything like it. So even when we say two hands, don't think of any hands. Because within the creation, a mosquito, you know the mosquito, has a hand. And an elephant has a hand. Although both have the word hand, is there any resemblance between the hand of a mosquito and an elephant? No. The blood, different. The skin, different. The nature, different. The cells, different. It's different in every way, shape or form. But we call this a hand and we call that a hand. If this is the case with the creation of Allah, then what about the case between the Creator and the creation? It's even more vast. This is very important to understand. Because we don't want to deny what Allah said in the Quran. If Allah said, He told Iblis, the verse, the evidence, Allah told Iblis, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَجْدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتَ بِيَدَيْهِ. He told Satan, when he refused to prostrate to Adam, he said, what prevented you from prostrating to what I have created with my two hands? Read the tafsir. Yes. Read the interpretation in Tagalog or in English. That's what it says. So if Allah said that, you cannot come and say, oh no, no, no. I cannot say that Allah has hands, because if I say that Allah has hands, I'm making Allah like creation. No. You confirm the hands to Allah, but you know that there's nothing like Allah. So your mind will never be able to have an image of the hands. That's why you don't ever think about it. You don't ever think about it. So this is the foundation of the Muslim belief. We must understand this, because there are many among the Muslims who have deviated and they started giving Allah human characteristics. And the opposite extreme is that they deny the verses in the Quran because they are afraid of resembling Allah to His creation. We take a middle path. We confirm the names and attributes, but we know that there's nothing like Allah, because He taught us in the Quran there's nothing like Allah. So you can never have an image. So we don't know how. We do not know of the how. Beautiful. If anybody doesn't understand, raise your hand. This is fundamental for you to know. Anyone doesn't understand? We have no image of God, no image of Allah in our mind. He doesn't look like anything you've ever seen. So whatever you're thinking right now, if you are, stop. But if you're still thinking, it's not that. It is not that. So be careful of thinking of Allah what doesn't befit His majesty. Because you may think of an image that is not befitting. So you leave that alone. When the shaitan tries to give you that whisper, say, A'udhu Billah, and get busy with something else. Think about your wife, think about your mother, think about your children, but don't think about what Allah looks like. Because no one knows. If you go to Jannah, you will see Allah.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. If you go to Jannah, you will see Allah. Then you can get it out of your system. Now, it's beyond us. But we don't deny what Allah Azza wa Jalla has revealed. And we don't resemble Allah to His creation. We don't draw a picture, say this is Allah. A'udhu billah, as the non-Muslims do. To them, Allah is a Buddha, and Allah is a cow. And you see the Hindus,
yes,
and the Christians, Allah is a person who's crucified, or you know, some saint, or whatever else they have taken as God besides Allah. We don't have that in Islam. That's why you go to the masjid, there's no image. No image. There's nothing like Allah. Alhamdulillah. Problem solved. Because you know, in America, if you go to the black church, you'll find a black Jesus. Black Jesus, man.
Yeah, black.
Oh, come on, man. He changes color according to the people. You go to Chinese, you find Chinese Jesus, maybe his eyes. It doesn't make any sense. Wallah, they take, because they take the religion lightly, man. To them, God is the last thing on the list. Last thing on the list is God. Wallah could draw anything. Maybe an alcoholic is the one who carved the image. Maybe someone who was high at the time of making it. He doesn't know what he's doing. Because God to them is on the least of important. What's important is money. What is important is life, having fun, pleasure. And this is important. But God, religion, faith, salvation, hereafter, zero. Jesus died on the cross. I don't got to worry about nothing else. That's the attitude. That's the attitude. That's why they don't care. And those who do care, they wind up disbelieving more. They go and create extra things. They innovate into the religion. They add acts of worship which were not taught by Jesus. A bunch of problems, as you may know. You've come from that background, so you know what I'm talking about. Tayyib. So the first thing, we believe in the attributes of Allah. We don't deny any one of them. Now, because no one knows the greatness of Allah. So Allah Azza wa Jalla has a number of attributes. Among them is Al-Majid. Allah is the one who is glorified. And Allah is Al-Kabir. Allah is the biggest. And Allah is Al-Azim. Allah is the great or the magnificent. Or in other words, you could translate it. All these names indicate the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart of a servant. This is the number one thing you do in order to magnify Allah in your heart by believing in the attributes of Allah. Secondly, that you admit the favors of Allah upon us. The favors of Allah upon us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the son of Adam, us, a lot of virtue and a lot of blessings that he did not give to the rest of his creation. Among them, he allowed the person to disbelieve. He allowed the person to disbelieve if he is in a state of danger. According to the Quran, if someone came and put a gun to your head, okay, and he threatened to kill you, say that God is three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and I would blast your head. In Islam, Waalaikum Salaam, you are allowed to say that. As long as your heart believes, you are allowed to say with your tongue, God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, let this guy go home. As long as in your heart, you believe. Allah allowed this out of mercy. Out of mercy, because you're in a state of danger. You're in a state of fear. Now you don't believe that, but you say that with your tongue. You get me? This is according to the verse in the Quran. That you may say that if you are in a state of danger, if somebody's forcing you to say something you don't believe in, then Allah will not hold you accountable out of mercy to Allah, to His creation. I'm going to bypass because we've taken too long. So he said, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal has basically honored us by giving us commandments and prohibitions. You're honored by doing the commanded, staying away from the prohibited. The same way at work, when the boss tells you, you know, this is the to-do, this is not to-do. If you are a good employee, you will abide by the rules. You do everything you're supposed to do, and you don't do the things you're not supposed to do. If you do so, you will become among the people and the employees an honorable employee. They may give you the employee of the month. They may give you a raise. Why? Because you are sticking to the guidelines. So if this is the case with the creation, Allah had honored us by giving us commandments in which if you fulfill, you will be honored, and prohibitions in which if you leave them alone, you will also be honored. This is again from the honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. So the Shaykh said, so how is it then that we treat Allah in return by turning away from Him, careless, and we do the things that He made prohibited for us, and we turn away from the one who's calling us to Him, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we leave alone His sunnah, His way of life, we don't implement it in our lives, and we obey shaitan, the devil, and all of his tricks, we obey him and we follow him. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had raised this ummah upon the obligation of magnifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As it comes in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, where a man from among the Jewish scholars, rabbi, came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Oh Muhammad, we find in our book, we find in our Torah, that Allah Azza wa Jal will put the heavens on one finger, and He will put the earth, the lands on one finger, and the trees on another, and the water on another, and the surface on another, and the the rest of the creation on another finger. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla will say, I am the king, Ana al-Malik. So the Prophet ﷺ smiled until they were able to see his molar teeth, and basically agreeing with what the rabbi had mentioned. And then he quoted the verse in the Quran that says, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And they did not give Allah his due right, the way he deserves it. And the whole creation, or the whole earth, will be within his grasp on the day of judgment, within his grip on the day of judgment. So Allah Azza wa Jal is beyond your imagination. And the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ had followed this particular methodology, and they, you know, recited the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believed in these verses they were supposed to believe, and they had the best attitude and mannerism with Allah. So they did not speak about Allah without knowledge, they did not resemble Allah to His creation, and they did not think of Allah things that are not befitting to His majesty. Thirdly is that we magnify the book of Allah by reciting it, as I mentioned earlier. Fourthly, we magnify, but not in the same sense, or we honor the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we honor his sunnah and his narration. As the Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, that it is Allah Azza wa Jalla had commanded us to honor the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to support him and to have honor towards him and to his sunnah alayhi sallam, and anyone who may harm him. Fifthly, to have honor to the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unlike the Shia, and be careful when you go back to the Philippines, I heard that they're starting to spread. Yeah. The Shia are among the most wicked people to walk on this planet. Very often worse than the Christians who will be in church. Because you will find among the Shia, the majority of them who say that all of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are kuffar, disbelievers. And they accuse them of the worst of things. And if you do so, then you have denied Allah, and you have denied the Sunnah, and you've denied the whole deen. Because this religion, Islam, came to us through them. If they're disbelievers and liars, then what you have is nothing. If a wicked person brought you the religion, then you're going to have unreliable information. So this particular accusation is horrible. And they curse them. May Allah curse them. They curse the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they say Abu Bakr became a disbeliever, Umar became a disbeliever, Uthman became a disbeliever, Aisha became a disbeliever. They say everybody became a kafir except six. And this is from the deviants that they are upon. So be careful of intermixing with these people who have been led astray from the path due to the sickness that they have in their heart. So then the Shaykh said, finally, the reason why one of us will disobey Allah. He said there's a very simple question. Why do we disobey Allah? The question is simple, but the answer and the content is great. Why do we disobey Allah? Because we really don't understand the greatness of Allah. That's the only reason why. Because it has become weak. The greatness of Allah in our heart is weak. We go ahead and we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how do we disobey Him? And Allah says, and to Allah submits whatever is in the heavens and the earth, whether willingly or unwillingly, and to Him they will all return. And how do we disobey Allah? And we read that when Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the portion of His majesty to the mountain, then the mountain crushed and Musa alayhi sallam, Moses passed out. He says, how do we disobey Allah when Allah said that the mountains are about to crush, as He recited in the surah. If this Quran was to be revealed upon a mountain, the mountain will crush and will break apart from the greatness and from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically it's not befitting for us. And Abu Dhar said, I heard the Prophet ﷺ said that the kursi, now you know ayat al-kursi. It says at the end, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The footstool, or the chair, another translation, of Allah, encompasses the heaven and the earth. Now the chair is not where Allah Azza wa Jal sits. طيب? Allah Azza wa Jal is above His throne. Allah is above His throne in a manner that befits His majesty. How? Beyond you. Don't imagine you will never be successful. So leave it alone. The chair encompasses the heavens and the earth. Follow me now. The chair, which is the place of the feet, encompasses the heavens and the earth. Everything. And the heavens and the earth is not just this dunya around us. The whole galaxies, all of this universe, and the one that we're living in, the galaxy we're in, is very tiny compared to the whole thing. The kursi encompasses the heavens and the earth. The Prophet ﷺ said, the kursi, the size of the kursi compared to the throne, is like a ring in a desert. A ring, a metal ring in a desert. How small is that compared to the throne? And Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater. There's nothing greater than Allah. So this is who we're dealing with. Beyond, I mean, this whole dunya and everything on it is nothing. Nothing compared to the greatness of Allah.
Yeah.
Tiny. And we're sitting over here, small people, talking about that, I don't believe in this, I don't believe in that. No, there's no messenger. Quran is not from Allah. Muhammad is not a messenger of Allah. This little son of Adam who came from a sperm becomes so arrogant. Becomes so arrogant. And he denies and he rejects and he leaves the creator of the heavens and the earth and he worships a man who used to eat and drink, defecate, urinate. He was breastfed, he was circumcised. Jesus was circumcised when he was 8 days old. He ate, he drank, meaning he went to the bathroom. They leave alone the creator of the heavens and the earth and they worship a man. And they love him more than Allah. So much so that you don't even, the Father is the last on the list. He comes the first in the Trinity, but he's the last in importance and significance. It's always about Jesus, 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 Jesus. Although they believe in the Father, but what does the Father have to do with anything? Nothing. Just a name. So really, this is the deviance. When we understand this, we know how dangerous this belief is. And we know why Allah will not accept any religion but Islam. Because everybody else winds up degrading Allah and giving him characteristics that don't befit his majesty, accusing him of the most evil of things, while Allah Azza wa Jal is greater than everything you could ever imagine and beyond your imagination. So subhanallah al-azim, alhamdulillah, who made us Muslims who understand these particular points. Tayyib, I will conclude with this. He said, although how do we continue to disobey Allah? He said, but we are children of Adam. We may disobey Allah. After recognizing His greatness, we will still disobey Him out of weakness. But the whole thing is about repenting. Although we will still disobey Allah, our quality is to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahlan wa sahlan. Hayakum Allah. Brothers, our quality of believers is to seek forgiveness from Allah and to repent to Him. He promised that if you do so, Allah will forgive you and He will repent. He will accept your repentance. So it doesn't mean that after you know the greatness of Allah, you're going to become an angel. No way. As soon as we leave here, we may fall back into sin. We may believe of the greatness of Allah in our heart, but because we are the children of Adam, we are weak. We have this weakness, desires and things of this sort. We will disobey Allah. But the whole thing is about not continuing to disobey Him until we die. We must repent. When we know we made a mistake, we should seek forgiveness of Allah and have the intention never to do it again. This is how we can maintain success in our lives. And this is basically what the Shaykh was trying to mention to us. He said, verily those who fear Allah, whenever the devil tries to whisper something evil to them, they remember Allah, so they have insight again. They start to see again. Because we are blinded by the sins whenever we're not doing so. And this is more or less the summary of the khutbah with an addition from me. I don't know what's the point of having the papers if I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. But at least I can quote the verses more accurately. So with this, it's been 37 minutes and this is way beyond the time given to me. Alhamdulillah, salatu wasalam ala Rasulullah. Question? No time for questions, yes, sir.
What's the hadith about Allah prefer believers that begin repentance than to other person that doesn't have a sin for what the
You're talking about this narration, Allahu A'lam, where the Prophet Muhammad said, if the people did not disobey Allah, then Allah will take them away and He will bring other people who will disobey Him in order for Him to forgive them and repent upon them. Because Allah Azza wa Jal is, among His qualities, is the most forgiving. So for this quality to be in effect, then you must sin. Otherwise there's no point for forgiveness. So Allah Azza wa Jal, of course, we don't want to sin, but because we will inevitably fall into it, Allah Azza wa Jal loves to forgive His servants for their sins. So Allah loves it when you sin and you return to Him. And when you return to Him, you'll be better than when before. So it's all about tawbah. Tawbah, tawbah. We must implement tawbah in our lives. Now. طيب. خلاص؟ طيب. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.